For the past half century, conservationists have been trying to ward off the invasion of alien species. African bees, Asian carp, and even dandelions are believed to have wreaked havoc on native species, causing uproar as they conquered new ecosystems. The narrative of good versus evil in these cases seems clear. But in the new book, The New Wild, Why Invasive Species Will Be Nature's Salvation, environmental journalist Fred Pierce argues that alien species are actually not the enemy, and that this misguided, as he calls it, a green xenophobia, has been fueled by overblown environmental horror stories in the media and imprudent efforts by conservationists to maintain an idealized balance in nature. Again, the new book, The New Wild, Why Invasive Species Will Be Nature's Salvation, and we welcome Fred Pierce to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir.
Hi, good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. What brought you to this particular topic of looking at these species and how they're ultimately getting a raw deal?
Well, oddly enough, I began by thinking, I'm a journalist, I began by thinking about writing a book about the horrors of alien species, you know, the invaders. We know how much easier it is for them to move around the planet because of human activity, ships and planes and so on. And there are quite a lot of horror stories out there, and I've written as a journalist in the UK and in the US. I've written some stories about the havoc that they apparently cause, zebra mussels and that kind of thing. But the more I looked into it, the more it seemed to me, well, two things really. The horror stories were a bit very overblown. Zebra mussels, for instance, have been responsible for cleaning up Lake Erie. You know, when they first arrived, Lake Erie was more or less dead. And by eating their way through an awful lot of the pollution there, they've cleaned the lake out. So I wouldn't say there would be no problems with them because, you know, they do accumulate on water intakes and that kind of thing. But ecologically, they've been quite good. And the more I looked, the more stories of that kind I found. I found that the stories about tamarisk in the out west were, rather crazy. They don't tamarisk doesn't actually consume more water than other native plants out there, yet tamarisk gets blamed if any rivers ever dry up. And it's rather a good habitat for a number of endangered local species. So I began to see all those stories of the horror stories being overblown. But it also seemed to me increasingly that these kind of go-getter species, these invaders, these really very resourceful species were often exactly what nature needs to recover from the really bad things that we are doing to the planet. So they're the species that can cope with the pollution and thrive. They're the species that can push their way back through the concrete in our cities. They're the species that kind of can reinvade agricultural land. Fascinating stories out of Puerto Rico, where the farmers had more or less turned much of the island into desert. And when the farmers kind of gave up on farming for a variety of reasons, the species that came back were not the old native forest species, but the new trees that had been brought in by colonists over the years, like the African tulip tree has done really well there. Now, that's not a native, but it's done really well. And it's now bringing back some of the native species that are coming with it. So I began to think, you know, these aliens often did good things. And also that the idea that we have that aliens are bad and natives are good just doesn't wash anymore. It's not often very clear what the natives are. It's still less clear that they are somehow virtuous. And we have this sort of kind of morality tale that we tell about species. And I think that's as misguided as the weird morality tales that some people tell about human migrants. You know, America is made of migrants of humankind, and America has a huge number of migrant species as well. And by and large, they've both been a really good thing.
And as you point out, that you are certainly not alone in this. There are many ecologists who agree with you. They take the same view and think that we should look at these ultimately as successful ecosystems as dynamic and constantly evolving.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are kind of two views. I simplify a bit, but there are basically two views in ecology about how nature works. One view, the traditional ecologist's view, is that nature is composed of stable ecosystems, whether it's rainforests or coral reefs or whatever it might be, that have evolved over time so that every species has its own niche. And, you know, the system is stable and wants to stay exactly the same way. And if you take that view about nature, then absolutely alien species are, you know, a big problem because they are really alien to those ecosystems. But there's a new feeling in ecology, and it's widely held now by ecologists, though not yet by environmental campaigners much, but by ecologists, that nature isn't like that. The ecosystems are much more open, that even in the natural world, even without human influence, species are coming and going all the time. You know, American woodlands, when you look at them, you know, they don't stay the same. The idea of a sort of perfectible nature, if I can put it that way, just really doesn't hold. So they're looking at a world in which ecosystems are much more open to outside influences, outside forces, outside species. And if you think about nature that way, then there's certainly nothing intrinsically bad about alien species. They may be good, or, you know, they may cause problems sometime, but there's nothing intrinsically bad about them, and we should treat them on their merits rather than just presuming that they're the bad guys.
You say in the book, however, that when they first arrive, they certainly can be very disruptive because we don't really know what they're capable of.
Yeah, I mean, most species arrive and die out pretty quickly because the locals eat them or whatever, or they're just not suitable to the local environment. And as a kind of rule of thumb, 9 out of 10 new arrivals just don't survive. But the rest, you know, will do pretty well. They'll muck in, and then a few will cause problems. But that's, as a rule of thumb, sort of maybe 1 in 100. And yet, oddly, we concentrate on that 1 in 100 and sort of make a great fuss about them, rather than thinking about the really useful work that most species do. Because one of the things you discover is that where alien species turn up and thrive, they don't damage the local biodiversity. It actually increases. Been a lot of research done in the last few years showing that ecosystems with alien species in it are generally healthier, generally have greater biodiversity, more stuff going on than what we would traditionally regard as kind of pristine or at any rate uninvaded ecosystems. So there's no kind of scientific evidence that, you know, that we have a problem here. Now, individually, sure, there can be issues, and I don't say that we... But I think they're more about problems for us as humans and the stuff that we're doing than for nature itself. And I agree that there are circumstances where an individual species may come in and may, run riot for a while. Usually that's a temporary thing. I must say they settle down after a while because either they get used to the local ecosystem or the local ecosystem gets used to, adapt to them. One way or another, you know, mostly things just kind of roll on, and I think we just kind of get a bit obsessed about the early days when they can run riot a bit. And as I say, if we have a problem with that, then we're perfectly entitled to do something about it. But I think there's a problem for us as humans in the way we run our economies and our agriculture and our parks and everything else. It's not really a problem for nature. Nature mostly gets by.
I think that's an interesting point, because if there is a bad guy in the book, it's ultimately us, right? I mean,
I don't really like to think of us as bad guys, really. I mean, I think we're just another species, and we're just a bit dominant. And I suppose ultimately we are the big invader. There's no bigger invader in most ecosystems than humans. You know, most of nature is influenced by human activity, but I don't think we should. You know, I think we have to be careful of what we're doing, and we need to cut back on pollution, and we need to maintain ecosystems. I'm in favor of rewilding as much as we can. I just don't think that we should try and run rewilding like a garden. We should kind of let nature rip a bit, because mostly nature is pretty good at fighting back at us, and we need to empower it rather than trying to constrain it and control it. That way, I think we enfeeble nature. It's the dynamism of nature that really matters, that's really going to be good for nature, rather than humans trying to protect it.
So what do we do and what should our timeline be when it comes to giving these alien species a fair hearing?
Well, it's a bit difficult to say because it depends. You know, if you're talking about trees, you've probably got to look at them over centuries. If you're talking about insects, you can see what's going on really much quicker. So I don't think there's any specific people who are opposed to alien species will say, well, you've got to nip them in the bud because if you let them get established, then, you know, it'll be too late to get rid of them. Of course, that's, you know, that's true. But most times you don't have to get rid of them. Most times they do fine. So I think we should, at the very least, relax a bit and recognize that most ecosystems already have a range of alien species, colonists, invader species, whatever you want to call them. They're already there. So, you know, let's just relax a bit. If we have to take action against particular invaders that create particular problems, then, okay, I guess we have to do that. But again, I think this is about protecting our needs rather than nature's needs.
And I think you make the point in the book very clearly that too much conservation often gets hung up in trying to preserve the past, but that change is not always bad, and it is ultimately natural.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always fascinated to see how nature comes back. I mean, if you look at urban environments are fascinating because certainly in Europe, and I think just where we're more crowded and things are perhaps a bit different, but certainly to some extent in the US, the interesting biodiversity, most of the species show up in urban areas now because there are lots of really interesting kind of places for them to live, ecological niches, if you like. So old chemical works, old kind of railroad sidings, urban badlands, industrial sites, mines, that kind of thing. All sorts of really interesting places where unusual species, sometimes invader species, sometimes rare and threatened native species, kind of live and thrive. And now those are not ecosystems in a sense that a naturalist would understand. But increasingly around the world, that's where most species are. I know in the UK here, most of our bees now live in urban environments, most of the species of bees. And it's true of many other insects and many other plants. So I think we need to start looking about where nature really is and get away from the idea, which I think many conservationists still have, that we need to spend all our time trying to protect endangered species, protect pristine environments, what we regard as pristine, and they're not terribly pristine, to be perfectly honest, but protect those kind of places. Now, aesthetically, you know, there's some stuff we want to protect, and again, that's fine. We should want to do that. We want to protect the places that we like. But I think we have to realize that increasingly nature is playing by different rules and has a different game, and nature is turning up in the places we don't really expect it. You know, nature isn't in, you know, rural areas, which are agricultural, monoculture very often, lots of chemicals out there, which are really bad for much of nature. Nature often is moving into urban backyards, urban landscapes, where it finds much more interesting places to live, interesting stuff to do. And we need to keep up with that. We need to recognize that that's where nature is now. It's a new, that's why I call the book The New Wild. I think it's very different from the old wild, but it's no less great.
Fred Pearce has reported on environmental science and development issues from 85 countries over the past 20 years. His new book is The New Wild: Why Invasive Species Will Be Nature's Salvation. The book is published by Beacon Press. Fred Pearce, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing your knowledge.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, The New Wild, published by Beacon, written by Fred Pearce. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.